From StoryFlow, this is your daily audio brief for July 2nd. Riley, July 2nd. The morning read 10 stories, balanced sourcing throughout. Let's get into it. First, from The Bulwark, Iowa is suddenly competitive. Sarah Longwell and Andrew Egger give their takes on the surprisingly competitive political race in Iowa, where Democratic nominee Rob Sand is trying to build a new kind of populist message: less culture war confrontation, more competence, accountability, and structural reform. Andrew went to Iowa to attend Sand's campaign events in rural Iowa, where Rob is blending local concerns like affordability, school funding, abortion restrictions, and agricultural policy into a broader pitch against one-party Republican control. Next, second, from FISE.org, as the United States celebrates 250 years of independence, Science has published a commentary by Johns Hopkins University President Ron Daniels highlighting the impact of the reimagining of the American university pioneered by Johns Hopkins in the late 19th century and how the benefits of that shift and the later emergence of the compact between research universities and the federal government have been integral to the nation's success and prosperity. Post-war research compact fueled U.S. prosperity for 8 decades, argues commentary. Up next, third, from CBS News, Fuller and Balogun, top score for U.S. out for next World Cup match after red card. The U.S. men's national team is moving on in the World Cup, but the top scorer will have to watch the next match from the sidelines after video review led to a red card and a lot of boos. Nicole Valdez was inside the stadium for it all. And then, fourth, from NPR News, even fans who don't speak Spanish are watching the World Cup on Telemundo. Here's why. They may not understand every word, but fans appreciate exuberant announcers who match their enthusiasm. Plus, cameras stay on the field during hydration breaks rather than cutting to commercials. Image credit, Patrick T. Next, fifth, from Zero Hedge. Billionaire Governor Pritzker embraces socialist candidates as the future of the Democrat Party. It's a common and almost inevitable component of communist history that the leaders of proletariat movements always end up becoming some of the wealthiest people in those movements. The idea of equity is a fantasy. Every society, no matter how progressive, has an elitist class with more money and more power than the common citizen. Socialist and communist societies have some of the most egregious power gaps imaginable. They even reinstate archaic systems of hereditary succession. Up next, sixth, from XDA Developers. Your batteries are dying faster because you're charging them wrong. Here's the one setting that changes everything. Battery life is one of the things that people look for when buying any device. After all, your phone goes everywhere you go, and it is expected to last you all day. For a lot of people, a laptop is the same another device that is expected to last. And then, seventh, from Reason, will Trump v. Barbara end the birthright citizenship debate? The Supreme Court's final decision of OT 2025 in Trump v. Barbara reaffirmed the conventional understanding of birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment and held President Trump's executive order purporting to deny citizenship to the children of temporary visitors and illegal aliens born on U.S. soil. Writing for the court, Chief Justice Roberts reached to resolve the case on constitutional grounds, eschewing the narrower and more bulletproof statutory arguments against the EO. And as a consequence, the chief's opinion in Barbara only garnered 5 votes. Justice Kavanaugh concurred in the judgment, albeit on statutory grounds, and joined Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch in rejecting the court's constitutional claims. While I believe the Chief Justice's opinion embraced the best interpretation of the 14th Amendment Citizenship Clause, I believe it was an error to reach the constitutional question given the clear statutory infirmity of the President's EO for reasons I explain in my latest Civitas Out Lieu K column. None of the justices fully embraced the Trump EO's constitutionality, but the 4 all rejected the Chief Justice's constitutional holding. A decision resting on statutory grounds would have received at least 6 votes. None of the dissenters addressed the statutory claim to any meaningful degree. My column concludes, in articulating and embracing a broad constitutional rule, the Chief Justice likely sought to settle the birthright citizenship debate for the body politic. He probably failed. Resolving the case on constitutional grounds produced a narrower majority than was necessary to resolve the case and invited extensive response, including over 130 pages of dissents. Legislative proposals on birth tourism and the like are sure to follow. Although he considers himself a student of history, Chief Justice Roberts may not have learned history's lesson here. While fairly and, in my view, accurately recounting the history of American citizenship, he neglected to consider the history of judicial overreach. On several occasions in our nation's history, justices have sought to quell political contestation through judicial edict, hoping the power of the pen would quell political discord. The controlling opinion in Planned Parenthood v. Casey 1992 called on the contending sides of that national controversy to lay down their opposition and heed the court's opinion. Their argument fell on deaf ears and arguably inflamed the opposition to the court's abortion jurisprudence. It is unlikely that Trump v. Barbara ended the debate over birthright citizenship. It may have truly started it. The post "Will Trump v. Barbara end the birthright citizenship debate" appeared first on Reason.com. Next, 8th, from Collider. Tom Hiddleston's Apple TV epic officially scores rare theatrical release. Apple's streaming arm isn't usually the kind that pushes movies into cinemas, but it's been a bit more generous than most. A handful of its titles have slipped onto the big screen for a short run before heading to the platform, think F1 and Killers of the Flower Moon, which both got a brief theatrical window. That approach is pretty selective. Apple looks at each film and decides if a cinema showing could actually bring people in and maybe even help the movie chase awards. It's not a blanket policy. It's more about spotting the ones that could benefit from that extra exposure. Now Tom Hiddleston's new epic on Apple TV has landed that rare theatrical slot. The buzz is that it ticks all the boxes for a potential awards push, so Apple is giving it the cinema treatment before the streaming debut. It's a reminder that even streaming giants can still play the theater game when the right project comes along. Up next, 9th, from Screen Rant. After 8 years, Marvel's X-Force officially returns for the first time since Deadpool 2. Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool 2 was responsible for bringing a dark Marvel team from the comics to live action, and after nearly a decade, that same superhero squad has returned in a new adaptation, looking better than before. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is responsible for using many of the best Marvel teams from the comics, as well as some underrated ensembles. And then, 10th, from MMA Fighting. BKFC President David Feldman explodes on F**k King Punk Fighter after trying to shove his opponent off stage during weigh-ins. BKFC President David Feldman was not in the mood to see one of his fighters try to shove his opponent off stage during the ceremonial weigh-ins on Thursday, so he took matters into his own hands. At the BKFC Liberty Brawl weigh-ins, local fighter Pat Sullivan was facing off with opponent Ruben Arroyo, and nothing much happened during the initial staredown. But after the fighters were told to face forwards for additional photos and videos, they began jockeying for position with one stepping in front of the other. Arroyo eventually stepped under Sullivan's arm and posed for the cameras, but that led to the Philadelphia native shoving him as the four-time BKFC veteran nearly tumbled off stage. Security immediately intervened, and that included Feldman, who erupted at Sullivan for his antics as he pushed him backwards while clearly irritated by the whole altercation. "What the F**CK would you do that for?" Feldman shouted at Sullivan. "What the F**CK's your problem? F**CKing Punk. F**CKing Jerkoff." Sullivan kept smiling through it all, but it's safe to say he didn't exactly ingratiate himself to the big boss at BKFC with the shove that nearly sent his opponent off the stage. The rest of the weigh-ins went down without any further incident, including the heated rivalry between former BKFC champion Mike Richman and his opponent Johnny Garbarino after they had to be separated several times during the pre-fight press conference on Wednesday. That's the day.